Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben here with Henry. Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. Without you, we're absolutely nothing. Today's guest, my God, the reason that you love every single thing on Shudder is because of this man. We are speaking with Craig Engler, the general manager at Shudder, and just thank God for what you do. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. And you got to give a shout out to Sam Zimmerman and Emily Gatto, who also help acquire everything, and Nick Lazo. It's a whole team over there. So while take credit for it, there's a great team, and Sam is at the forefront.
And that's the proper power of the CEO, is spreading it around. And because honestly, you're the only CEO I can imagine having on our show that I don't want to immediately like dress down, be like, you are incorrect, sir. Where it's like, it seems at Shudder, you guys run a really good ship.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a great team. I love working there. I love the content and I love the team, and the team kind of loves what we do and sharing it with people. So there's a lot of love in Shudder for a horror streaming service.
This isn't a Zoom meeting where you're speaking with potential people that do finance. So we don't care.
We have no money.
We want to talk about blood and guts and streaming. So when you're searching for the great horror movie that's going to stand out on Shudder, there's so many horror options: paranormal, gore, what, UFO. What are you looking for? What's the thing that stands out that you want to see in a horror film?
I'm going to give you two answers to that question. The first answer is that everybody always loves a legit scary movie. So we are always on the lookout for something that is scary. And it doesn't have to be jump scare scary, but it could be dread scary.
Yes.
But scary is always top of the list because, you know, watching a horror movie is like getting on a roller coaster. You know, you want to be scared and then you want to, you know, come in at the end and you can walk away and you're fine.
Just like a good mushroom trip, kind of peak and then slowly come down.
And then sometimes it's good to have 8 or 9 boobies on the roller coaster as well. And I'll see some penises if you can throw them in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You should go watch Violation.
Yes.
Then the other thing is we're always looking for the movie, a movie that has like a point of view and is the best version of itself that it can be. And sometimes that's crazy over the top, the sadness, or Mad God, or sometimes it's Watcher, right? Which is a modern thriller that is just impeccably made. So, you know, there's a variety of stuff in the horror genre. There's comedy, there's paranormal, there's slasher. We are looking for the things that are sort of the best version of themselves that they can be.
Right. You also do such a good job of cultivating the international end of horror, because I feel like, obviously, Indonesia has a massive horror scene, South Korea, they like all those Korean films are also really fantastic. And I love how deep the cuts go on Shudder. Like, how do you find those guys? When you say you look for these things, like, do you go and watch stuff like in a movie theater or you see stuff like at film festivals and you just go like,
mostly
that
it's
thing?
Film festivals or we're getting links from people. You know, it's very rare that we'll see something that is already in a theater somewhere because it's already been distributed. Although I cannot remember how we got this one, but I think One Cut of the Dead, which was made for like $60,000, $30 million in Japan, probably had it probably had a release before it got to us. But, you know, we're seeing these things and, you know, sometimes other people are seeing them and they just don't think that they'll do well. Right. You know, and sometimes non-English language movies can be a barrier if your primary audience is, you know, English language speaking. A lot of times people think that they, you know, don't want to read subtitles, even though if they watch it for 5 minutes, they'd forget they were even, you know, reading subtitles.
It's just because they're lazy, honestly. It's just laziness.
Well, it's also just the fear of the unknown, right? Which is the irony of horror, where we're supposed to explore the unknown. In this case, that might be subtitles. But it reminds me of the film I Saw the Devil, which... subtitles, but my God, talk about horrifying to your core. What is it about a movie that transcends even the language? Because there's something about horror that I think all of us love. It's so visceral. You see it. They show, not tell, for the most part, when it's done the way that I like it. What is that sort of special sauce that makes a movie jump out from the screen and just get into your frickin' bones?
Well, you know, what's interesting is if you look at horror across cultures, horror is universal, right? What scares us is universal and it's very common, right? So one of the things that's really interesting is like one of the reasons humans are scared of zombies, right? Is because they look like they're full of disease and decay. Mm-hmm. And like when we were, you know, running around, you know, before we had civilization, if somebody came near you and they looked diseased, you had to get away from them, right? Otherwise,
yeah, in 2020 and 2021, yeah, we know.
So we have all of these innate fears that they cross geography, they cross, you know, cross culture, they cross language. So I think horror kind of quote unquote travels well, right, around the world, because you can see without understanding the language if somebody is scared or not, and you can see if something is scary. So
as the imagery, there was one you guys just did. There was a movie you guys just put out that some of the, it is, I believe, an Indonesian film that I saw that was the, it's just the imagery itself. Like, that's what I kind of like about dipping into other cultures, horror films, because you kind of see what they also like, what is their version of a ghost? Like, you know, when I first time I saw Pulse or The Grudge, like when you see the original and you're like, oh, that's a type of ghost I've never seen before. Now I'm fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, thanks. That's like a new thing in the bucket for me.
Well, even like, you know, The Ring, like you wouldn't think like some woman with long hair, you know, crawling out of TV. Like if you describe that to someone, you wouldn't necessarily think that's scary. But then when they show it, you're like, oh, my God, that's the most terrifying thing I've seen.
If you describe it to me on a lonely night after I've had a bottle of Jameson, I'll still have sex with that woman. And she want to go back in the TV. So you got to flip it and you got to reverse it.
It was Warning, Do Not Play. Warning, Do Not Play was a really good film. Can I ask a little, this is a Chris Farley-like question from the Chris Farley Show from Saturday Night Live. What's Phil Tippett like?
I have never spoken to him directly.
I have talked to on the show. I've been endlessly pontificating about Mad God, right? And about how Mad God
is amazing.
Blew my fucking mind. I was so excited to have it. It's my wife can't watch it. My wife can't do it. It's like that and the Wolf's House are movies that she can't see because she doesn't like the animation. It creeps her out. But it was like, I know, like, what was it like? Just because in my mind, because with Mad God, that dude was walking around for 30 years with that 30 shit
years.
Playing in the back of his head. What is that like? Like, did you meet him? Like, so
no,
I
did not meet Phil. You know what happened is, so Mad God, the team had been aware of it. And then I can't remember why, like, we didn't quite close the deal. And then I saw something. I didn't know that they'd seen it. And I saw something written about it. And it was like, Phil Tippett has been working on this for 30 years. And I thought, oh my God, we have to have that. Because whether it's good or bad or somewhere in between, people are going to want to see it. You know what I mean? Just, you just hear that story and you're like, I got to see this movie.
Well, it's a man's legacy, it sounds like.
Well, it's like reading a book too. It felt like it's that thick. Yeah. There's I've watched it three times and I just keep coming back to it. And just like, there's so much to it.
And so we got it, and we also put that movie in theaters, believe it or not, because sometimes we put movies in theaters, and it's done incredibly well on the sort of art house theater circuit, probably far better than anyone thought it would be. But I never met Phil, but then I watched, there's that like ILM documentary on Disney Plus, and I watched, and they've got a young Phil Tippett talking, and I was like, this is amazing. So hopefully, you know, I think I've been on a couple emails with him, but I've never met him in person. I would love to. And you know, Mad God was great. And then, you know, we do this thing every year. We call it the Gulag. It's like our version of the Yulog, where we have like a streaming jack-o'-lantern that you can put on your TV 24/7 for Halloween. And it's funny because people watch it thinking it's a movie and they're like, nothing happens. And we're like, no, it's just background to put on your TV.
People are so bored.
Like, we called them.
Oh, I'll watch that for hours. I love those things. Take some acid and be like, did it change? It's like when I used to watch SportsCenter growing up and try to figure out if it was still the replay and be like, I think it's a little different this time. It's like, no, it's the same thing.
We called them and said, do you guys want to do a Gulag for us? And they got the concept right away and they said, yeah. And then they just went and made probably the best one that'll ever be made. Although I love them all in their own way. And stuff happens in it, but you know, it's got this like gnarly furnace with this face on it. And then this pumpkin that gets carved by these little creatures and stuff in it. And it's amazing. So, you know, and they did that like super quickly. And, you know, so not only do we have Mad God, but we have Gulag, the Mad God edition, which is this.
So. Man, I just, I figured that Phil Tippett would like only talk by like scroll. You know what I mean? Like, I thought you'd have to go like find him at his house or like, and then you find out it's like when you go, what's his name? The guy did like Giger. Like if went to Giger's house where apparently you're expecting it to be a sex dungeon, but he's like, do you want a Keurig? And you know what I mean? Like,
he's like a scone.
Live from your grave.
Well, you mentioned how, you know, the art house theaters, they support a lot of horror. Obviously, theaters have been going through a lot of struggles right now with the pandemic and everything like that. It's starting to come back. But it seems to me like horror, that genre has always been so perfect for viewing with others.
Oh, and absolutely.
I think that horror is one of the genres that is supporting movies, theaters, and people still want to get out of their house and watch it with people. Do you think there's something about just communal fear? And if there are more people that are there, the less you are personally scared. Like, we had a great Paranormal Activity, for example.
Yes.
That was a fantastic movie to watch with others.
Because people freak out.
They were freaking out. You know, I heard Terrifier 2, which I'm going to see this weekend. People are getting sick. What is it about the communal aspect of horror? Because you would think it would be, that's why the community is so awesome.
Yeah.
Because everyone's so tight-knit because we're all scared shitless together.
You know, it's kind of fun to be in it together, right? You know, there's this kind of thesis that like horror movies are very cathartic, right? You go through some trauma, but then you come out of it at the end and you are living this, you know, sort of in this fear, but then it's all fine and good. So you almost feel like better about, oh, I lived, I survived, I made it.
Right.
And I think it's fun to go through that with other people. You know, I think I remember we saw, unfortunately we couldn't buy the film we ended up not being able to buy it for Shudder, but I saw The Night House screening at Sundance, and I was sitting next to Sam Zimmerman, who's our VP of programming and our curator. And Sam has seen every movie ever made, every horror movie, like far more than I have. And like at one point I was sitting here, I was sitting watching the movie with like my hands over my face.
Yeah, like a kid again. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was this really good, scary moment. And then Sam next to me screamed. He went, ah! And I was like, oh my God, that was the best moment of watching a horror movie at Sundance, was sitting next to someone who's also a horror fan, who's so scared he's screaming. And Sam will freely admit that he does get scared and, you know, he screams. But you know, it's that sort of, you know, like, oh, not only are we in it together, but well, at least he's more scared than I am.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. One day I want to talk with him too, because I'm the same way. I am a horror. I watch it all. Everything that comes out, I watch every single horror movie, and I'm constantly, I've been on the look for that dragon. I've been chasing it for so long, trying to get scared again. Like, what's the last thing that you saw that really scared the shit out of you?
Well, The Night House was one, and that was because I saw it midnight at Sundance. That's the one I remember the
most.
And
you're like half in the bag, and you're kind of scared just in general?
Mostly I was just tired, to be honest with you, because I come from the East Coast, and I go to bed early. So I was like, oh my God, it's like 2 a.m. for me. I'm terrified and sleepy at the same time.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, so we have this movie. It's a horror comedy, Deadstream.
Deadstream.
But it was legit scary. Like, I was like very tense in moments, you know, even though it's a comedy and we know it's a comedy, right? Like, when you watch that movie, it's that great combo of it's kind of scary and it's funny. It's a little bit, you know, like Evil Dead-esque, right? You know, I thought that combination was killer. And Joseph and Vanessa Winters, who wrote, she's the director, he's the star. I think they co-directed as well. They just killed it. They did such a good job. And then they have that segment To Hell and Back in VHS 99, which I also love and thought was scary. And what a great premise there. We're literally going to take the audience to hell.
You guys have been making really good choices. VHS 94 was fantastic. Deadstream is really good because, again, what I loved about Deadstream was that, you know, the one thing about horror movies and all of us that are obsessed with horror movies is that there are tropes, there are systems, there are steps that movies certain go through. Like, you can watch it. You're like, all right, this is a haunted house, but with like, you know, like these elements, and you kind of know how it's going to go, how it plays out. What I love about Deadstream is that it's just walking chest first into the being like, yes, this is an asshole who's asking for it. It's the whole point. And then we're just going to watch him just get torn to shreds, which
Absolutely.
Is exactly what you want.
And of course, asshole who's asking for it is one thing I've searched a time or two.
I forget what they called it. It was like the wheel of stupidity, right? Where he has to spin it and do something dumb. And it kind of like leapfrogs the, oh my God, that person's is doing something stupid. I would never do that. But oh, this person is supposed to be doing something stupid, right? So it really kind of takes the tropes and subverts them a little bit, which I thought was really smart.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned horror and comedy, and that's one thing that with Last Podcast on the Left, you know, we were one of the first pioneers. That's just a fact.
Which is true
when
crime.
It comes to
like
horror
true crime
and obviously Last Podcast on the Left, based on Last House on the Left, you know, talked about a lot of horror films and things like that. why is it so difficult to put a thumb on what it is? Because for us, you know, we created true crime horror comedy, but in a podcast form, but like Evil Dead, like Dead Alive, like these films that you gutturally laugh at, even like Leprechaun, it's difficult to pin down what genre it is, because comedy and horror, mm-hmm. you have an audience member. We all experience that. We're like, I'm not laughing. These guys aren't going to be funny. And you crack them because you make them laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to be scared. Ah, I'm a tough guy, whatever. And you crack them. You make them scared. What is that marriage between horror and comedy that just makes it work so well together?
You know, Joe Hill, who's the son of Stephen King and a great horror author in his own right, he always talks about how comedy and horror, like humor and horror, are the flip side of the same coin.
Right.
So like they're very similar emotions. They're very adjacent to one another. And I think that if you can crack it, like Shaun of the Dead,
yes,
it works wonderfully well. On the flip side, if you can't crack it, it tends to not work. You know, it's like two things aren't working at once. But it is legitimately hard to do something that is both funny and scary. But if you're able to do it, it kind of transcends. It's kind of like where one and one make three. You know,
yes.
It's like horror and comedy make a horror comedy, but it's better than just horror and comedy to get.
Because it has to be 50% scary. It has to be scary.
Oh, it has to be scary.
And then the comedy has to be funny, which are both extremely difficult. Because what I do think is interesting, though, is that now we're seeing with the Halloween series, more and more comedians are jumping into the pool to do horror-based content, which like genuine horror, which I find really interesting because I think it's also horror, like comedy is very reliant. Well, the medium, when you watch it, is very reliant on timing.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of that happens in the editing room. I wonder if you could maybe explain, you know, in post when it comes to these films. I know with the original Halloween, they had the showing, no one liked it, and then John Carpenter added the score, and they're like, this is pretty scary.
This is awesome.
And that's just another element that, you know, music, the background, those things really happen after a film is shot. And you don't really know what you got until the very, very end, I guess.
No, I mean, there's sort of saying is there's three versions of the film. There's the one you write in the script, the one you shoot, and then the one you create in the edit room, right?
Yeah.
And I think, especially in horror, but in all films, sound effects and music are wonderful. You know, I often wonder in my mind, would Star Wars be Star Wars if it had a lame score? You know, because I think maybe it wouldn't have been so big, and I think that score really helps so much. You know, it kind of literally announces, you know, Star Wars and Darth Vader and, you know, all the famous, you know, Jaws. You know, would Jaws be Jaws without da-da, you know? But sound plays a huge role both in music, and also I think I read in Hereditary one of the things they did to kind of keep people off balance is they use different instruments to mimic an instrument, but not be the same one. So you always knew it was off. So like you think you're hearing a violin. I can't remember the exact. So someone don't get mad at me.
No, I was extremely nervous and uncomfortable that entire time. So I believe it.
And when I read that, I thought, oh my God, that's genius. You know, you're mimicking instruments with other instruments and gives us this subtle sense of unease. Not that nothing else in that. I mean, that whole movie is just a study in making you uneasy, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, once they said that, I was like, oh, that's perfect. You know, we don't typically get involved too much in the post unless we're building a movie from the ground up. So all credit in Deadstream goes to Vanessa and Joseph and Melanie, who plays Chrissy, who is also amazing in that film. So.
Very good.
Live from your grave.
So during quarantine, obviously, we were all low-level scared as it was, right? It was a shitty time. But it was also very difficult, I think, for movies to get made. People couldn't figure out how to crack it. But you guys, again, where you guys stood out ahead of the pack of everybody else, is that you did the only scary Zoom movie, which was Host. It was like, I also liked
so
Unfriended.
Good,
I did, back in the day, I liked Unfriended. It
didn't
make me scared. But Host took it to a different level. How did you guys get Host? Did you guys like pitch it to somebody else? Did they come in? Did someone come up with like how did that end up there? Because that was the perfect movie for the time. Yeah.
Host was so we're always on Twitter and Reddit and everywhere else, like sort of keeping track of what everybody's talking about. And one day I was on Twitter and I saw Rob Savage, who directed Host, had put this prank video where he pretended to be on Zoom with his friend investigating a noise in the attic. And then he climbs up in the attic. He turns the camera for just a second. You see some kind of entity. And then it looks like he falls to his death. And he freaked his friends out. And it was 2 minutes. And they put it on Twitter. And we have a channel where we're always talking to each other on chat at Shudder if we see interesting stuff. And I threw it in the chat and said, hey, did anyone see this? And then Nick Lazo, who works on our development, said, oh, we know the director, Rob Savage. And I said, ask them if they have a feature version of that film. Wow. And they came back to us. They had a 6-page deck, but literally they sold us on the words Zoom seance, right? As soon as they said Zoom seance, you can picture how that movie can play out, especially because we're all trapped on Zoom. And they had a really good, you know, they had sort of some twists and some turns in there that were really unexpected. And we said, okay. And they wrote, shot, produced that movie. And we had it on the service in 3 months from the time we pressed go. And they, first of all, they absolutely killed it. I mean, that is a movie for the ages.
It's so
but
good.
I remember I watched the rough cut and I was thinking to myself, is this as good as I think it is? Or just because like we're all stuck in our homes Zooming. Right. So I was chatting, you know, with Nick and Sam and Emily. And I said, you know, is this as good as I think it is? And they wrote back, yes. You know, we had almost no comments on it whatsoever. And I think they ignored the comments we didn't have anyway. So that was fine. And then we got the movie on. And the crazy thing about that movie, I love this story, is we had the movie on the service before we had the trailer, because they couldn't get the trailer done because they were so busy making the movie. And we had this deadline to hit. And then it became a phenomenon. In fact, I'm sad for Host because I feel like, you know, we put movies out in theaters. I feel like if we had put Host in theaters, it would have been a Paranormal Activity, right? Yeah. I think it would have gone big, but nobody was, you know, that was the time of the pandemic where theaters were shut down. You know, it did get a limited theatrical run in the UK. But I sort of feel like I really wish we could have put that movie in theaters. But that was all really Rob Savage posting this thing. Then we saw them, you know, met them, and then they had this great idea and we said, do it. So all credit to them.
Yeah, but like that's honestly, if you did show it theatrically, obviously, I'm one of those. I believe that all movies should be seen in movie theaters. I think you should. That's the best way to see them. I have a huge ash television that I still sit like 3 feet from, so I feel like I'm in a movie theater. But that's
and
the
he eats a lot
I've
of popcorn
seen.
And he I burps do. And he's looking at his cell phone the whole time. Horrible.
Covered. Yeah, covered. But I love that movie because it's the only movie I've seen that's genuinely scarier on the computer.
Yes. If you watch it on a laptop, you feel like you're part of it.
But, you know, that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier with horror finding a way. During the pandemic, I think it was a net negative for art. It all sucked. You know, artists,
it was just very difficult.
Yeah. But for that specific time in our history, for a movie like that to come out right when it did, I mean, it filled that void. And they found the horror. They found what scares us during that very unique moment. And I think that's one of the powers of the genre as a whole.
Yes.
No matter what the situation, it finds a way to, you know, remind us of what we're truly scared of.
Well, what's really interesting is when the pandemic came out, we had this movie called Blood Quantum. Blood Quantum is a movie about a virus that turns people into zombies, but there's indigenous people on a reservation and they are immune. So there comes this whole sort of who do we let in and stuff. It was very emblematic of what was going on at the time, right? You know, who do you let in your house? Who do you not? Mm-hmm. And that movie took off for us. And even though we had originally planned to release it theatrically and we couldn't because theaters were closed, you know, we put it on Shudder and it became one of the most watched movies in our history. And also the number one request we got the first month of the lockdown was, do you have any pandemic movies? You know, they were asked, you know, people wanted to, because it's a really interesting, again, it goes back to this catharsis that horror provides to people. Like, I want to watch a pandemic movie so I can experience this and the trauma, but then I can come back and be safe, relatively speaking.
And I think also there's something with the horror audience as opposed to many other, you know, no dissing on people who like rom-coms, but it's not working out.
No,
he's not a good guy. He's not a doctor. He's a scumbag.
It's not going to happen.
It's never happening. So I think there's something with horror audiences that they confront and they look at it and they don't run from it. And I feel like that's a really powerful, powerful way to go through life, although it's hard.
Yeah, 100%. I think that people face their fears on in through movies, and it's awesome.
Absolutely. I want to ask, okay, we've had, it was vampires with Twilight, right? Vampires was a thing. Fucking, we got zombies, right? Everybody's got zombies, blah, blah, blah. Zombies, we've seen a million times, right? What's next? What's the next monster on the horizon?
Great question. I think we talk a lot about needing a really good werewolf movie.
Yep.
Yes, please, God.
Good one. Ginger Snaps is like the still like of the modern horror films, of modern werewolf movies. It's still like one of my favorite.
And we also talk about witches. Witches, I think, are making a comeback. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, obviously The Witch was a big hit, stuff, but I think that like sort of, you know, that like, oh my God, what was that? Like, it was like a made for TV movie where like, you know, your neighbors were like in a witch coven or so, you know, like, or like Race with the Devil, you know, that yes. type of movie. Like, I think we really need a good, like,
I agree.
Witch coven, Satanist, you know, revival. You know, we've had a couple things that were close on that didn't quite work out for that. But I really think like a great witch movie. And again, you kind of have to say post the witch movie, because The Witch obviously yes. kind of had right. this moment in time, but.
Well, you also had Hagazusa, which is also fucking awesome. But Hagazusa, have you seen Hagazusa?
No, like, I didn't see
Hagazusa is one of those, not to, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but it is a great, you rip a bong and you just live in Hagazusa. Like, because it is about all, it's all atmosphere. It's very
atmospheric. I love the poster too. I love that skull. And I really have to get that one framed for my office.
We were discussing a little bit before the show, They Live. I could also go for a new version of They Live, as Henry has his Obey, you know, slogan over the Shure microphone he's supposed to be advertising. something about corporatism, something about the manipulation of media, because that was another thing all of us were forced to ingest during these 2 years, these past 2 years or 3 years, I guess, when we were quarantined and all that stuff, where we were living exclusively online. To be patriotic was to order Uber Eats. You know, that kind of corporatism and that kind of poison that they've been putting into our society. That's another one I would love to see a much smarter person than me write and just kind of get a They Live Too with The Rock as Roddy Piper this time.
You know what I'd also like to see is a really good, I don't know if a remake because the movie's so good, but like a modern Prince of Darkness. Because that movie, and also by the way, I discovered something about myself is that I love like isolation horror. And I think Prince of Darkness counts, right? Because they're sort of isolated in the church. Right. Oh, yes. But I love a good isolation horror. And I also, you know, love a good, you know, Satan swirling around and sort of green goo, you know, ready to be unleashed with messages from the future. So I would love to see something like Prince of Darkness.
We got to chase that. I'm pretty certain that John Carpenter goes to my grocery store around the corner. I'm pretty certain I've seen him multiple times, or somebody looks just like him. And I'm going to grab him one day.
Buddy, just hang out by the avocados. Hang out by the avocados for 8 hours a day, because you know he's an avocado guy. I can just see him being an avocado guy.
Look at his sheen. He's got very wet hair.
Do you guys know, if you watch a Shudder movie and the logo comes on, there's that that John Carpenter composed that, and our little audio bug is a portion of that theme.
Very cool.
It is. You got and go just, you know, Shudder John Carpenter YouTube and you'll get the whole track that he did.
It's fucking awesome.
Now I just want to start pitching you movies. I had an idea that I sent to Henry. I almost want to pitch it right now. Make
you
a want to
pitch your movie? Pitch a movie.
Come hear me out. Here's the log line.
We got it right the log line.
Craig Angler, a Make-A-Wish kid who asks players to throw games and becomes a mafia kingpin. So his final wish is that they throw
You're
games.
You're wasting this opportunity
No, this is a great idea. Because please throw the game for me. And then the player has to throw the game, right? And they're like, who's this kid, man? Who's this guy behind all these people throwing these games? Mafia kingpin. It's a dying kid with fucking cancer, bro. It's Jigsaw meets fucking cancer kid.
I think it's a great idea, but I don't think it counts as horror. Maybe you should call Netflix.
God damn it.
I can't believe I just
got rejected.
On my own Patreon show. He'll definitely call Netflix. He just goes 1-800-NETFLIX and he's going to be like, Mr. Netflix.
Like to pitch a movie.
Can I do a pitch a movie? I do genuinely have a good Pumpkinhead pitch. One day I will pitch at you. I got
Pumpkinhead's awesome.
I want to do a Pumpkinhead 3, but I'm gonna get through the proper channel.
Didn't they make three of them?
No, two.
Oh, they only made two?
They only made two, but I have an idea. But I'm saving for that for when I'm in front of you in a room so you can smell my deodorant.
The rejection still stings, even to this day.
As it should.
Wow.
Thank you so much for talking to us, man.
Absolutely. It was so totally fun. Anytime we could talk about, you know, getting high and watching Hagazusa is a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And we're going to keep pushing the good word of Shudder to everybody who will hear me. Joe Bob in Last Drive-In is also one of the best decisions that you guys made. And it is awesome. Fucking fantastic.
Joe Bob is so fun.
Darcy's a rock star.
And to continue to pitch, if you need us for anything, we'll always sit down and blab about horror films.
We had
a great time doing that previously. So thank you so much, Craig Engler.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Thank you, Craig.
Live from your grave.
All right, everyone. There it was, our conversation with Craig Engler. It burns. I think my Mafia Kingpin idea is good.
If you had just cleared it with me beforehand, it's not horror. That's not a horror film.
I know, but I just wanted to get it out. Yeah, it's a heist. Whatever it is, I was rejected.
So many other ideas. There's so many other things we could have told him.
Well, you know what? We didn't, did we? We fucking didn't, did we?
We fucking didn't. And this is why. This is why we're here. No, we're doing well.
We're fine. Thank you all so much for listening. That was awesome. Once again, horror is simply the best. I just love it.
He knows what he's doing too. What I said at the top of the interview. It's like, if you're going to talk to anybody that's a fucking head of a network that you could actually say you're doing a good job, they're the only ones doing it. It's Shudder. And we're getting no money for this.
And they maintained it. They maintained it because. God, all these other, whatever. Anyway, everyone, thank you all so much for listening. Anything else? I think that's about it.
That's it. Release them. Release the people.
Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everybody. Take care of yourselves. Have fun.
Talk soon.
How exciting for them.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.